If you could open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 26. And we've been going through the book of Acts, and we're coming to a message this morning, and the title of my message is Born or Born Again? Born or Born Again? And in this passage, we see a man called Agrippa, and he's a king. And he was almost convinced to become a Christian. It's a sad story. Actually, when you read Acts chapter 26, you see the word Christian in verse 28. And did you know that in the Bible, the word Christian / Christians is only mentioned three times in the scriptures? 1 Peter 4 verse 12 says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." When you go to the book of Acts, Acts 11 verse 26 says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And then if you go to verse 28 of Acts 26, the Bible says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, when you think about that word Christian, there are people in Australia that think that they're a Christian because they say that they've been born in a Christian country. And so they think that Australia is a Christian country, and I've got to say it's far from a Christian country now, but they think that Australia is a Christian country, and therefore, because they're born in this country, they're a Christian. Being born in Australia doesn't make you a Christian. You've got to be born again. There are other people that think that they're a Christian because they've been born into a Christian family. And they think because mum and dad or grandparents are a Christian that that makes them a Christian. No, it doesn't. You've got to be born again. I read a story published by USA Today, and it was a story written in 2022. And it was about a lady called Alandria Worthy. And Alandria was on the way to the hospital. She was in labour, but she realised she couldn't make it to the hospital and she actually had to go to a restroom. So they looked around and there was the big yellow sign, McDonald's, and that was a place where she'd find the restroom. So she goes into the restroom, but the staff start hearing screams coming from the restroom. Alandria was having a baby. In actual fact, she gave birth to a baby in the restroom of the McDonald's. The manager heard screaming coming from the bathroom, and it's written down in the article, "I knew to tell my crew we're having a baby today." The manager and two other crew members went into the toilet and they helped Alandria bring a beautiful baby girl into the world. The parents said this, they told a TV station, they said, "Divine intervention brought them to McDonald's where three women could help." Well, the McDonald's crew gave the baby a nickname and they called her McDonald's Little Nuggets. Well, there was no happy meal on that day for the mum, but it was a happy day because she gave birth to this beautiful girl. Now, when you think about this baby born in McDonald's, she's born in McDonald's, but it didn't actually make her a nugget or make her a hamburger. It didn't actually make her an heir of McDonald's. Even though she was born in a McDonald's store, she wasn't an heir of McDonald's. She wasn't part of the McDonald's dynasty. She had no rights to the company, even being born in a Macca's store. You know, you can be born into a Christian family, but it doesn't mean that you are an heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be born again. The Apostle Paul stands before a king, and Paul gives his story of how he was born again. And that king actually needed to respond to what Paul said. And everyone here, just like that king, has got to respond to the gospel in order to be saved. You think about John chapter 3. There was a religious man and his name was Nicodemus. You might say that Nicodemus was a big cog in the synagogue. He was a Jew. And he comes to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus says these words to Nicodemus. John 3 verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Repeat it again in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 7 of chapter 3, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." For Nicodemus to have a home in heaven, he needed to be born again. And for all of us to have a home in heaven, we too need to be born again. Well, in Acts chapter 26 here, we see a man that's confronted with the good news of the gospel. He's got the greatest missionary of his time right before him, telling him about the prophets, telling him about the Lord Jesus. And what is his response? His response is in verse 28. The king says to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He's almost persuaded to be a Christian. Well, if you're a non-Christian here this morning, what is a Christian? Well, a Christian is someone that has been born again. And when you're born again, you are born again in response to the Word of God. Every person that's a Christian has recognised that they are a sinner, that they deserve punishment, that they deserve hell. We're born again by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives us the content of the gospel. This is what you have to believe. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. Jesus died for us. Jesus rose for us according to the Scriptures. Jesus was buried for us according to the Scriptures. Ephesians 1, 12 to 13 shows exactly how a person is born again. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we see here the ingredients for being born again is the Scriptures, is the gospel, it's the truth. Ingredients for being born again is that you trust the truth, you trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, that he was buried, that he rose again. And when you trust Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, when you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Can I ask you a question? Are you born again? Was there a time in your life where you knew that you responded to God's word and you were born again? All of us that are born once need to be born twice. We need to be born once physically, and secondly, we need to be born again spiritually. Now, here's King Agrippa, and here's the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26. Paul had become a Christian. He was a born-again believer, and he's standing as a prisoner of the Romans before this king called Agrippa. And Agrippa had said to Paul, in verse 28, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." When we first meet King Agrippa II in Acts chapter 25, Agrippa was the known king of the Herodian dynasty. He was the last known king of the Herods. King Agrippa, this king, was a great grandson of Herod, and the Herod that had actually put to death the babies in Bethlehem and in the surrounding areas. Though Agrippa was a Jewish king, Agrippa was not a godly man. Here this man, this evil king, is living in an incestuous relationship with his sister who's called Bernice. Not only was he ungodly, but instead of being devoted to the Lord, he was devoted to the Roman Empire. And Paul is brought before this king in Acts chapter 25. Now, there's also another person present, and this person is a guy called Festus. And Festus is the Roman governor at the time where King Agrippa exists. And Paul's case comes before King Agrippa, and Paul speaks to both Festus and Bernice and King Agrippa. Acts 25, verse 13. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix." Verse 22. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, "I would also hear the man myself." Tomorrow, said he, "thou shalt hear him." And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. So in Acts chapter 26, Paul gives his testimony of coming to know the Lord Jesus, and he does that before the king and before Festus. You know, Paul was a man that was obsessed with his faith prior to his conversion. He was obsessed with his Jewish faith. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Verse 4, this is what he says, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." And what I said was that Paul was a man that was obsessed with his faith. He was a very religious person. But being a religious person, he still didn't know Jesus until the Lord Jesus revealed himself to him. We see how he was a Jewish extremist and how he hated and persecuted Christians. Acts chapter 26, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. So he was a man that was obsessed with his Jewish faith. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew about the Creator God, but he did not know Jesus as his Saviour. Secondly, Paul was a person that oppressed others. He hated Christians before his conversion. And thirdly, one day Paul was overcome. He was overcome by Jesus as Jesus intervened in his life on the road to Damascus. I wonder, is there a time in your life where Jesus has intervened? Where you've come to know that you're a sinner and that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour? Acts 26, verse 12. "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. So here was a time where Paul's going down to persecute Christians, and he hears a voice from heaven. The Lord Jesus speaks to him, and his life is touched. Fourthly, Paul was to be occupied. Jesus gave Paul a job. Have a look in verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which is sanctified by faith that is in me. So Paul was given an occupation, and the occupation was to tell all sorts of people about the Lord Jesus. Fifthly, Paul was obedient. Have a look at verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So his life was radically changed. He was overcome by the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Was there a day in your life where you know that your life was radically changed, but also not only changed, but you had a commission to tell others about the Lord Jesus? In this passage, we see that Paul saw the light. Acts 26, verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. How do we see the light today? We see the light today through the word of God. Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not only did Paul see the light, but on that day he recognised the Lord. He recognised who the Lord Jesus was. He understood that it was Jesus whom he was persecuting. You know, the word Jesus means Saviour. Peter declared, neither there is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul saw the light, he recognised the Lord, and he laboured faithfully. Verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles. Paul was sent to save. And you and I, we're sent to save as well. If we've been touched by the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, if we've received the light, you are sent to save. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've recognised the Lord, he's called us to labour. There's a hymn, and this is what the hymn says. Little is much when God is in it. Labour not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it, if you'll go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. He saw the light. He recognized the Lord. And he labored faithfully, and so must we. Paul saw a harvest field of Jews and Gentiles. And he knew that the rich and the poor, and the sailors and the soldiers, and the kings and the queens, and the princes and the paupers all needed to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Jesus said, "Look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. One soweth and another reapeth." Paul said, "For we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." From the moment he heard the voice of Jesus, the Apostle Paul was called to labour. And whatever talent Paul had, and he was a talented tent maker, he was a talented scholar, whatever talent he had, he laid it at the feet of Jesus. And when he laid it at the feet of Jesus, he laboured to bring others to know Christ as their Saviour. I wonder, have you laid the time you've got now, whether you're retired or not? Have you laid the time that you've got now, the talents that you've got now, the treasures you've got now at the feet of Jesus? Are you labouring in the field? I was speaking to an artist yesterday, a gifted man with art, and he told me how, I think just in a recent Christmas, how he was trying to make some money. And he went to Bunnings and he got sign material, I think it was that core float material. And what he decided to do before Christmas was to create different cutouts or pictures that people, I guess they could put them in the front yard. And he decided that he would draw Santa Clauses, this is a Christian man, decided he would draw Santa Clauses and manger scenes and sell them, put them on the market. So he spent all this time and money and getting the core float and doing his drawings and everything like that, put them up for sale. Guess what sold? The manger scenes and not the Santas. And he was telling me that he's got all these Santas left over. I think they're in his garage or in his basement. The manger scenes in a secular world sold over the Santa Clauses. You know, it makes me think that this man was to use his gift of art to promote the Saviour and not to promote Santa. And I think it was a lesson for him to learn that he needs to use his gifts not for a secular world, but for a Saviour who loves him and went to the cross for all his sins. Now, God has blessed every believer with time and talents and treasure. And we're not here to please a secular world, but we're here to promote the gospel to a secular world who is dying without the Lord Jesus. One missionary wrote this: "God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus." They were the words of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was speared to death at the age of 28 in South America on a riverbank. He and four others died that day in 1956. He died that day trying to bring the gospel. He penned in his journal this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Francis Haverickle wrote this: "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my life, take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Paul saw the light. He recognized the Lord and he labored faithfully. And so must we. And if you're gifted with your hands or you're gifted with figures or you're gifted with music, if you're retired, you should still be using your gifts to promote the gospel and to tell others about the Lord Jesus, our Saviour. If you're working, you know, if you're working in the secular field, you should be labouring to pay your expenses, to feed your family, pay your expenses, so you can be telling others about the gospel. You should be labouring in a secular job so that you can send missionaries to other countries. You should be labouring in a secular job so that you can use part of your wage to further the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn for thee, consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, Lord Jesus. Paul was overcome by Jesus, and Paul was occupied for Jesus. And in Acts chapter 26, he's serving his heavenly king, and he's proclaiming the truth to an earthly king. And look at the responses he gets. Verse 24, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. There are people that think Christians are mad. There are people that think you're crazy if you're a Christian. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. He's not afraid of the king. He's using the sword of the Spirit on the king. He knows that the King Agrippa is a Jew, that he's heard the scriptures, he's been taught the prophets. King Agrippa, believe thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. How sad. Almost a Christian. Are you born only once? Or are you born twice? Are you born again? Paul was again, born again, and he wanted others to experience the new birth. Look at the other reactions. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they went away from Paul. They left him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. What fools! They walked away from salvation. What fools! They walked away from truth. What fools! They walked away from what the prophets had said. What fools! People are fools today if they walk away from the true message of the gospel. These fools had pomp and positions and power, and they walked away from the most powerful messenger right before their eyes that day, and that was the Apostle Paul. The Bible says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, they are the last words of King Agrippa ever recorded in the Bible. His last words, sad words. He was almost persuaded to be a Christian. How sad. Are you an almost Christian here today? Don't walk away from the truth of the gospel. The sad truth in Australia is 10 out of 10 Australians die. How often have people heard the gospel and they're almost persuaded to become a Christian, and then they walk away and they go to a Christless eternity? If you're born once, you will die twice. If you're born twice, you'll only die once. Almost a Christian. How sad.